Let's just read together in God's Word this evening in John's Gospel chapter 10. We'll read in John's Gospel chapter 10, beginning at verse 9. And following the reading of God's Word, Desmond will come, please, and make the necessary announcements. John chapter 10, and reading at verse 9. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." We'll end the reading there at the end of verse 18. We know God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Those were the words that we thought about last Sunday night in our meeting as we looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and saw him as the only entrance to heaven. There are many people who believe today that all roads will ultimately lead us to God, but the Lord Jesus Christ reminded us through these words that that is not so, and nowhere in the Scriptures is it taught to be so. When Jesus Christ says, "I am the door," that door is the only door that is open to hell-deserving sinners like us. It's through him and through him alone that men and women can have access to God. It is through him and through him alone that your sins and mine can be dealt with. And it is through him and through him alone that you and I can be sure of a place in God's heaven. And thank God that that door is open unto us again this evening. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The door of opportunity, the door of invitation is open to us yet again this evening. But we dare not waste these priceless opportunities because we just don't know how quickly that door might be closed. Jesus himself said, "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." Tonight we return again to these verses I've read to you in John chapter 10, and I want us to think for a moment about the Good Shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ continues with this sermon and with this same theme, and there are still many things that he needs to explain to those who are listening to him. And I want, for the sake of time, to mention just three very simple things. And I hope that they'll challenge us, and I hope that they'll help us to see that in the Lord Jesus Christ we have everything, everything that we need, both in time and for the whole of eternity. Look with me for a moment here at the life of the shepherd. Jesus says to these people, "I am the good shepherd." We must remember the context of these verses, and we must remember that as Jesus speaks to these people, that the Pharisees are still in full view. Now, they were supposed to be the religious leaders of their day, but they were leading the people astray. They had set themselves up as spiritual advisors, but in reality, the Lord Jesus Christ had exposed them because he showed them to be false shepherds. They were hypocrites. They were putting the lives of these people in great danger. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes this great statement because he wants to show a contrast between himself and the Pharisees. He wants to show that he is the true shepherd, while they were false shepherds who were leading these people further and further away from God. Remember that in Bible times, the shepherd had the sole responsibility of the sheep. It was his responsibility to keep them safe. It was his responsibility to protect them from robbers, to protect them from wild animals, to make sure that they were well fed and cared for and led to fresh pastures. And if a sheep was killed, then the shepherd had to bring home some kind of evidence that it actually had been killed. So you can see that the shepherd became very close to the sheep. He was very attentive to them, and he was continually watching over their individual needs. But that was not so of the Pharisees. They were false shepherds who had no real concern for these people. In fact, they were so preoccupied with themselves and with their own needs, they were not fulfilling their responsibility to the people. Oh yes, they were deemed to be spiritual leaders, but they themselves were walking in darkness. They were condemning the souls of the people who were under their care. But Jesus says, in contrast to them, he says, look, despite what they are, I want you to see that I am the good shepherd. Because unlike these Pharisees who were leading the people astray, Jesus Christ was well concerned about these people. He cared for them. He was aware of the state that they were in. He was concerned about their deep spiritual need. He was moved with compassion toward them. After all, he had come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And these people, because of their sin, they were weak and they were wayward and they were lost and they were separated from God. And Jesus Christ looked upon them, and he looked upon them lovingly and with compassion and great concern, because these were the very people that the Lord Jesus Christ had come to save. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. And that word good is a great word. It speaks of efficiency and fidelity and loveliness. It speaks of beauty and strength and power. And it's used to describe the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the good shepherd in every sense of the term. And friend, I want to tell you tonight that in a world where there's little love to be found, and in a love where there's little compassion to be seen, and in a world where so many people are taken up only with themselves and for themselves, there is one tonight, and he's interested in you. There is one tonight who's interested in every detail of your life. There's one who knows you by name. There's one who knows your every need. There's one who understands your very nature. And that same Lord Jesus Christ looks upon you just now as you sit in the meeting, and he wants you to know that he cares for you. He wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to understand that he is so different in character, different in conduct, different in every way from everybody else, because this man who knew no sin and did no sin and who loves you this evening, he loved you so much that he was willing to go all the way to the cross at Calvary to show that love in giving himself and in shedding his own precious blood, in order that you might be saved from your sin and set free from the clutches of Satan. You might be saying tonight to me, but Pastor, hold on a moment. There's nobody who could love me the way that I am.
There's nobody who could really love me with the kind of life that I live.
And you could go on and you could tell me about how you live and tell me about your life and talk to me about your sin and all those things tonight that are shameful and sinful that you would rather others knew nothing about. And I'm saying to you that Jesus Christ loves you still. That despite what you are, and despite what you've done, and despite where you are tonight, outside of Christ, living without hope, and bound for a Christless eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you just the same. And says to you tonight, come unto me. I know who you are. And I know what you are. And I know what you've done. And I know the mess you've made of your life. And I know the home that you've wrecked because of this, that, or the other thing. I know all about those things, yet I still love you. And I want this evening to save you. And I want to turn you around and give you a new life to begin with. These people in Jesus' day, wandering aimlessly, with no real purpose in life, being led astray by false shepherds who themselves were far from God and on a broad road leading to destruction, and the Lord Jesus Christ's heart went out to them. We read in another passage of Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ on one occasion was ministering in their midst. And as he looked out over the multitudes who had gathered to listen to him, some perhaps out of interest, others who had come because others were doing it, some who had gathered to simply hear from this Jesus of Nazareth. But whatever reason had brought them there, Jesus saw them, and he saw this great multitude of people. And the Bible says this, that he was moved with compassion toward them. And he wasn't just interested in that vast multitude of people. He was interested in them individually. Because he could see what others couldn't see. And he knew things about them that others would never know. And he reached out a hand to them when others passed them by and didn't look upon them and wanted nothing to do with them, because some of them were down in the depth of sin and despair, the very dregs of society, and yet the very people that Jesus came to seek. So it doesn't matter who you are. And it doesn't matter about the sin or the shame that marks your life. I can tell you, friend, tonight that Christ loves you. And he sees you just as you are. And he sees you with all your great need. And he sees you with all your sin and all your shame. And while others might want nothing to do with you, you're the very man, you're the very woman, the very young person that the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting and willing to save. Listen to the words of the hymn writer who says this, dear to the heart of the shepherd, dear are the sheep of his fold, some from the pastures are straying, hungry and helpless and cold. See, the good shepherd is seeking the sheep that are lost, bringing them in with rejoicing, and saved at such infinite cost. The life of the shepherd, so different from the false shepherds of his day, why they had no interest and no care in the welfare of those that were under their care. The Lord Jesus Christ loved them and loved them just the way they were, and his heart went out to them, and they were the very people that he had come in order that they might be saved. He's a good shepherd in every sense of the term. But let me tell you something not just about the life of the shepherd. Let me tell you something about the love of the shepherd. Here's what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This is love in action. Here in this statement, you'll find the central truth of the gospel, and you'll see the character of the true shepherd. You see, a shepherd may be a good shepherd, but there's a line. There's a line that he will not cross. He will fulfill his responsibility to the sheep under his care. He will defend them in the face of danger. We know that David as a shepherd boy did that. There are Old Testament pictures given to us of David the shepherd boy and his care and protection for the sheep. But no matter how much he might care for them and defend them and fulfill responsibilities to them, he wouldn't put himself in the place where he would die for them. Whatever their need, it would never lead to the shepherd yielding his own life voluntarily for the sheep. And yet Jesus Christ says this of himself, the good shepherd. He says that's exactly what he did for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the emphasis on what Jesus Christ says here reminds us of substitution. And these words lead us to the place called Calvary. For in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to give his life for the sheep, it meant that he had to go to the cross at Calvary, and he had to take your sin and my sin upon himself, and he had to bear it all away in his own body on that tree. Let me explain to you for a moment what all of that means. You and I are sinners. We can argue about that till the cows come home, but it doesn't change the truth of Scripture. You and I are sinners. Not only does our sin deserve to be punished, but judgment has already been passed, and we are condemned tonight in the sight of a thrice holy God. We are sinners, and in the sight of God, we're guilty and bound for a Christless eternity. But here's the good news. This is the news of the gospel, that in our guilt and in our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he took your sin and mine upon himself. He did for us on the cross what you and I could never, ever do for ourselves. We were singing this morning around the table as we remembered the Lord, those lovely words, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned, he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. And I for one cry out, hallelujah. What a Savior. Dying the death we should have died. Taking our place and paying our debt in full. Bearing the very punishment that was due to us for our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ took our place and he paid our debt in full. And the Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible for any one of us and for every one of us to be saved this evening. So often people talk about love. But you know, sometimes their expressions of love, they're really meaningless. There's no heart in it. It's only a matter of talking. There's never anything seen by way of action. But Jesus Christ is different. He loves you and he loves me. And to show how much he loves us, he went to the cross and he carried our sin with him there. Albert Willis, as a student for the ministry, was called up for service during the American Civil War. He was part of a group of men who were called Moby's Raiders, and it was their task to disrupt the enemy from behind enemy lines. They, of course, knew the danger when they came to this particular group, and they knew that if they were captured, it would mean certain death. In October in 1864, Willis and another unnamed soldier were captured by the 2nd U.S. Cavalry Division, and both of them were sentenced to death by hanging. When it was discovered that Willis was a student for the ministry, he was given a chaplain's exemption, and that meant his life was spared. But when Willis sat down with the other soldier who had been captured and looked at him, Willis realized that he was a single young man while the other man was a married man with a family at home who were waiting for him. And Willis thought about himself and he thought about this other man. And Albert Willis came and he offered himself to die as a substitute for his friend. His request was granted. And just as the rope was placed over his head, Albert Willis bowed that head. He prayed for his executioners. And he said to them, I'm doing this in order that my friend might live. And you know, in a most remarkable way, and in a more remarkable way, the Lord Jesus Christ did that for us. Not because we were his friends, for in fact we were his enemies. Alienated from him because of our sin. We deserved to die for that sin. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ stepped forward, as it were, and he took our place. And instead of me hanging on that cross, dying for my own sin, Jesus Christ took my place. And he poured out his own soul unto death. And he shed his own life's blood in order that you and I might be saved. Friend, listen. You have come to this meeting tonight without Christ and without hope. And you could go home from this meeting gloriously saved. You've come tonight under the wrath of God, deserving, rightly deserving, to be punished for your sin. And on account of Christ, instead of being punished, you could be pardoned. You could go home from this meeting able to say with the hymn writer, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole. It's nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. You say to me, Pastor, do you mean all my sin? Friend, all of your sin, every last one of them, put under the blood of Jesus Christ to be remembered against you no more, forever. All of your sin, every last one of them cleansed in the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of your sin, every last one of them pardoned by God, and you bound for heaven and for home. And I hear you saying, but hold on a moment, Pastor, I don't deserve that. No, that's the wonder of it all. That's the beauty of it all. There are none of us who deserved it. There are none of us who could earn it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and took our place upon the cross, dying for our sins, rising again that we might be justified in God's sight, and through faith in him and this finished work, you and I can be saved, and that for all of eternity. Oh, what a shepherd he is. What a savior he is. The life of the shepherd. The love of the shepherd. The leading of the shepherd. Here's what Jesus goes on to say in verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. He knows his sheep and he knows every one of them by name. He knows his sheep and he knows their needs and their natures, and his sheep know him. They know him personally. They know him intimately. You see, he doesn't just love them. And not only has he died for them, but he leads them and they follow after him. And thank God that those who follow him are kept by his love. They're led every step of the way. They're guarded and they're guided until that day when the Lord Jesus Christ brings them home. How do we know that? Well, here's what he says in John 10:27-29. My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Think about that for a moment. What a wonderful truth this is. We're not only loved, but we're led. We're not only saved, but we're secure, eternally secure. Friend, tonight, maybe you're here and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and as a Christian, you've been struggling recently. Maybe you've been feeling down and discouraged and despondent. Maybe you're wondering where he is. It might well be it's where you've left him. But it might be that you're struggling. And you're wondering if you're going to make it through this particular stage of your journey. You're wondering what it's going to be like for the days to come. Well, listen, you're loved and you're led, you're saved and you're secure. And however you feel tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ remains that good and faithful shepherd. Let that encourage your heart. Come back to where you ought to be and put your hand in his by faith and let him lead you on. But some of you are here tonight, and with all honesty in your heart, you couldn't say that you're being led by Christ because you're doing your own thing. You couldn't say that you're being led by Christ because you're going your own way. And you know you're not saved. And because you're not saved, you're not on that place of security. The reality is that even as this meeting comes to its close, your feet are still firmly planted on sinking sand. You don't know the shepherd. You've never responded to his call. You've never trusted him as your Savior. And even though you know that Jesus Christ loves you, and on the cross at Calvary died to save you, and even though you know that he can deal with your sin this very night, because I tell you this, he can save to the very uttermost all who will come unto God by him. So there's no reason why you can't be saved. And only you know the reason why you're not yet saved. But you listen to the words of Christ again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gave his life for you. He loves you and he loves you dearly. If you can't see that, then you don't understand Calvary. He wants to save you. He wants to bless you and to keep you. And he wants to bring you home to mansions above, where you can rejoice in his presence, and that for the whole of eternity. Let me say this in closing. He can do no more for you, because he has done everything necessary, everything that needs to be done. Now you must respond to his claims upon your life and give him an answer to his invitation in the gospel. You need to come and trust him as your Savior. And let him lead you safely home, or else you remain in your sin and far from him. Reject his invitation. Continue on as you are, And one day, perhaps sooner than you think, slip out into a lost eternity. Open up your eyes in hell, knowing that you needed to be saved. But never finding the time to trust the Savior. You'll never have a better time than this. You'll never have a better opportunity than this. Christ wants to save you. He's waiting to save you, and he's waiting to save you now. You can start out for heaven and home, or you can remain as you are, die in your sin and be lost for all of eternity. And that's not his fault. That's yours. Because you bypassed the cross, and because you never grasped how deeply the Lord Jesus Christ really loved you. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He can do no more. The question is, what are you going to do with him? Let's bow together in prayer. And just as we do that, just you think for a moment of all that the Lord Jesus Christ went through upon that cross that you might be saved. The agony of his soul, the shedding of his own precious blood, the giving of himself in order that you and I might be pardoned instead of punished, saved instead of lost, in heaven instead of hell. Ah, come to the Savior. Make no delay. He wants to save you and to save you now. You must decide what you're going to do with him. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, gave his life for the sheep. We thank you that on that center cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself as the sacrifice for our sin and died as our substitute. Many of us, having grasped that, have been to the cross by faith and embraced your love in Christ, and tonight we're saved. Others are still out in the mountains, wild and bare, far from the tender shepherd's care. Would you, in your grace and mercy, embrace them this evening and bring them into the family and fold of God? We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.